How God is big, eh? Can you feel it like this morning? Like, he's huge. And I think some of us underestimate how in control he actually is. And every now and again, we try and walk this out, and some things happen, and we think to ourselves, maybe somewhere, maybe God's not so big, and this is the very thing that's going to take me out. But what? He's not true. He's bigger than that. Can you feel how big he is? Father, he's saying, I'm a father. Thank goodness he's not a Zeus type lightning bolt guy. He said of himself, I'm a father, and I behave that way first. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who runs the show? Who submits? Who, out of all three of them, is at the top of the chain? The Father. Jesus said, I do whatever my... So Father runs the show on the earth. Thank goodness. For all of us. It's that first. And then, as I just share my story now, I pray, God, like the Father you are, that these people, they wouldn't hear me, that you wouldn't hear me, that you would speak to them and you'd say how amazing and special they are. Each and every single one of these people here right now, right here. How amazing and special they are. And if you have to undo some people's words and some experiences, let it be. God, and we're not here to do church. That certainly stopped this morning. We're here to let you speak to us and change us, man. Change our lives, God. Okay. Let's go a little bit. I got saved when I was about 16. I'm now around 46. What does that mean? What's the math there? How many years? 11. Saved for 11 years. 20. Okay, stop it, man. Okay, so I grew up in about 20 kilometers away from here, in Sea Point. High Level Road, Chester Court, Mansions. My parents got separated when I was about 7. So I pretty much grew up with my mom. I would see my dad on some weekends, maybe once a month. And so from about 10, I was pretty much doing whatever I wanted in life. Not a great idea for a kid, just for the record. I just fell in love with this like compressed piece of wood on like four wheels, and most of my time was just skateboarding the streets of Sea Point and surrounds. My friends were burgies and stuff, which was rad. And so for example, just to give you an idea of like, because I didn't really have a dad around and my mom was quite soft, I ran the show, man. Can you imagine a mom saying, please don't do that? Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I've got kids. I have to speak a bit firmer than that. So for example, there were times where I'd come home at like 10 o'clock at night in the middle of the week on a school night while I'm still in primary school. Not great, maybe, on the streets of Sea Point. And I would come back and my mom would say, like, you can't do this. And I'd be like, yeah, sure, whatever. So I just lived my life, man, with the boys. That was it. And eventually, I took to surfing as well. And I behaved the same with kind of surfing. Just loving my life, having very little cares in the world. There was a bit of, you know, there was a bit of school. But, you know, I hold that lightly, hey? You know, if the weather's good, you know, skipping is always an option. And so that would happen on the reg. And the reason why I mention that is that whole surfing and skipping school is kind of how I got saved. So I didn't grow up in church. Just wanted to caveat that. I didn't like skate during the day and went to church on a Sunday. There was negatory Christian stuff for me. Thank you very much. That's how it happened for me. So, unlike Nadine's story, who heard Nadine's story last week? Unlike her, I mean, she just reached the kind of end of herself, got into a real pit, and really needed God. I was the exact opposite of that. Maybe because I got saved a little bit kind of earlier, and didn't end up as a wreck. But I wasn't looking for God at all. I was good. I didn't need Him. I was happy. I had no lack. I don't need God. My life was great. I had an opinion about religion. I was very opinionated. I thought my opinion was quite relevant. you can imagine at times how it wasn't, but I certainly thought it was. So my opinion of religion was it was a man-made thing. Every culture or nation invented a religion because people needed something to believe in. And that was my view of it. And that included Christianity. Christianity was the Western version of religion. All you people, you just need something to believe in. Here we go. And I didn't believe that anybody got a download from God or did anything like that. I thought it was all man-made. So that was my view. My opinion on whether God now existed or not, I was kind of out on that. And to be honest, guys, I'm young. Didn't give it too much thought. Why so serious? Let's have a good time. Let's live our life. And at that place, at the age of about 16, I find myself on that one fateful summer's day down at Big Bay Beach. Before there was the mall, there was just like a beach club there. Middle, I think it was during exam time. Again, cared little for what was happening in the school environment. The waves are epic. It's hot. You know, the sun is setting at like 8:30. We are there. So I am surfing, my brains out, loving life. I'm coming out the water, and there's this guy with long blonde hair. He says, "Hey, man, do you want to come have some coffee at this little beach club on the beach here at Big Bay?" And I sniff a Christian a mile away, guys. I'm like, "Bro, you don't fool me for a second, acting like a surfer, bro. Is this a Christian thing, eh?" And he's like, "Yeah, it is. Okay. But you don't have to stay. You can just drink coffee and go." And I was like, "Yeah, I'll see," which was code for no flying chance, I'm going. And I went. What was I thinking? Don't go to the Christian thing, dude. Remember, it's man-made. What's the point? You have a great life. So God only knows why I went. And long story short, that evening, God met me. Go figure that. So I'm there. I'm drinking coffee. That same guy is preaching Jesus 2,000 years ago, died on the cross. And I'm just bugged by this. I'm like, "I'm not having this." And at the end of it, I go up to him and I say, "Bro, there's only one of two things happening here today. You are just like everybody else in the world, and you don't know the meaning of life or what truth is. Or what you're saying is true. And as I say, or what you're saying is true, I burst out crying. In front of a stranger in a room full of people I don't know. Not cool. So, not coming back from that. I remember in my brain I was going, "Anton, what are you doing? Just get it together, brother. This is just pull yourself together." And God answered me. In some weird way, my question was sincere. In some weird way, I wasn't looking for God, but I was like, "What you're saying is either true, or is this true?" And God said, "Do you want the answer?" "Yes, I am the truth. I am the truth, you're right. But you know what? You got your answer now. I am the truth. Now let me speak to you." And what he did in me, he says, "I'm more than just the answer to life and the meaning of life. I want you to know that you're not alone, and I want you to know that you're fatherless, and I'm your father, and I love you." And he was giving me all that in the moment, and what you're going to do, bro? No grown man who's fatherless can stand that. So it's... Because he didn't just say, like, I'm the truth. He went, yeah, I'm the truth. Thank you. I'm a dad. Kind of a little bit what he's doing now. He's like, yeah, the truth. Now I'm a dad. Come, I don't like you being away from me. Let's go. So I'm just done. And I remember my hair's not even wet yet from the surf. I mean, even dry yet, you know, from the surf. And I'm in the green Mazda. Like I pull into the Big Bear parking lot, unsaved, have a surf. God does it. I download, I cry. I get back into the stop street again, turn right, and I'm saved. And I'm like, what just happened? And I remember like driving in the car going, how does this work? Can we just talk? Like, hello? Hi? How does this work? Do I just speak and then you answer? And so began me getting to know my Father in heaven. And he was real. And learning to hear his voice. And I come home, my mom is like, over the next like week or two, she's like, what is going on with you? Are you doing drugs? Talk to me, like, what's happening, my boy? And I kind of tell her, my friends are like, bro, what is going on with you? I'm like, I don't know, dude. Like, you know the Jesus thing and the God and the thing? It's real. And I gave my life to him. That's what's happening, brothers. And they're like, this is your off your tree. You of everybody. You, Anton, you of everyone. Why are you doing this? I didn't do anything. He kind of met me and I cried and it was all real. So I was instantly fathered. Instantly. Snatched me, fathered. And I was allowing him to kind of discipline me, and he was speaking to me, telling me to not do things. It felt like for the first 2 years, I just got a smack. I got like a spank. Like all the time I didn't. For how long? What? A couple of years? He was like, your mom didn't tell you to do that. You can't do that. You're going to get yourself into trouble. And he would like, I can't do this. And I remember saying to God the one time, I don't know why I'm saying this. Like I remember saying to God the one time, it's so weird. I don't even know how to speak to him, but I'm saying this. God, why does it feel like I'm always doing something wrong? Please, just give me a break. And I heard him say to me, guys, I am saved for like less than a year. I don't know that you're supposed to be able to talk to God. And I feel like I hear him say this. I'm not cross with you and spanking you. I'm directing you. Oh, so I'm not doing anything wrong. You are kind of, but I'm not cross with you. I'm directing you. This is what direction is. Okay, then. It's better. That's fine. Keep going. That's cool. And I would just ask question after question after question after question. So much so, quickly, the teachers at my school saw the change too. And they asked me to share my testimony in front of like 100 plus kids at some school meeting. That's very not cool now. Now we're stepping into whoa, 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 whoa. And I did. Bro, I'm done. Grab the mic and I give my testimony in front of the school. Cool. That just gives you a bit of an insight how real God was to me. He grabbed me. You know when that scripture man that says we love him because he loved us first. That's true. It's true. True. And so I start to get discipled now. You know, we don't just get saved. You know, it's not enough just to get saved. We got to actually get disciples. We get discipled, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And so the Sun Surf Club that I got saved into, it wasn't a church. It was like a missionary organization for kind of surfers. They were beautiful. And many people come out of there, but they're not a church, so they're quite shallow. So after everyone's saved, no one's quite sure what to do with everybody. And believe it or not, I ended up falling away. After all of that, I ended up falling away and going back and doing some of the same things I used to do and go to the same pool bars I used to do. Because I wasn't being discipled into the things of God. I wasn't in a family of God as much. And I was miserable, man. Can I tell you, there is nothing more miserable than someone who knows the truth and is going back and living a lie. You've got to drink 5 times as much to forget that you know the truth at the pool bar. This is meaningless. I know this is meaningless. This is all meaningless. What am I doing here? What am I doing here? Give me 5 beers. Make it a quartz. Ah. Just meaningless, man. A backslidden Christian is probably the most miserable person on the planet. So it wasn't until God brought me into a local church where I was able to turn from a convert into a disciple. So I found myself in a local church down in Tableview. It wasn't Josh Jen. It was another kind of stream. And that was tough for me, like initially. I must be honest. Going into church, I hadn't been into church yet, man. I just got saved on the beach and God was talking. And so I walk in and there was a stage where I didn't even want to call, guys, this is how weird I was. There was a stage where I didn't want to call myself a Christian because, here's my theory, if I'm a Christian, am I lumped in with all those other guys, those like tele-evangelists and the dial 0800 prayer and get your prayers answered? Am I with those dudes? Because I'm with those guys. I had this experience with God, so I really struggled with the concept of Christian, religion, church. I had an experience with God that I couldn't explain, but the church thing I struggled with, but yet I found myself in a local church. And I said, God, I'm certainly not going to go back to the pool bars. Okay, I'm going to give myself. These people dress a little weird. They're not really like in touch with culture. Do you know what I mean? They're a bit naff. Like, they go to Spur on Sundays off to church. Oh, bro, this is God, you know, I don't want to be boring. Please. Please. Oh. Okay, I'll go with you guys to the Spur. We could go out shopping for some clothes if you wanted later. I just pushed in. I just said yes. I said yes. Are we going there? Is this what we're doing with the church? I'll go with you guys. I end up getting pulled into like a family. So, you know, the pastor's wife and him, Jenny Evans, and them. I end up spending a lot of time in their home, on the kitchen. I see their lives. It was great. It wasn't a church that was just like meetings, you know, conferences. It was that they had the family of God. So I'd spend time, and probably a couple of times I'm just thinking, I was probably one of the first times growing up the way I did, shame, bless my mom and everything, but I didn't grow up in a functional family. My dad was, you know, married and divorced 3 times, got kids all over, you know, siblings all over the place. So probably for some of the first times, more than even experienced God, I experienced, oh, this is a healthy family. Okay, so the mom and the dad and the kids, then you make it the lunch boxes and the, so you guys don't hit the streets in the afternoons, eh? Eh? So you actually, you like it here. You sit on the couch. So like, okay. It's just first experiences of like a proper family. Many of you, that's like, cool, yeah, obvious. That's what a family is. But some of us are a little more dysfunctional growing up. And then a guy called Paul took me under his wing. He was like a 2IC leader in the church. Again, big guy. Buff guy, liked to bench press for you boys. Are we benching? Liked to bench press and push those weights. Had a bit of a military vibe about him. Bit of a military vibe. A bit of his theology would be more, we're the army of God. We're soldiers in the army of God. Paul, bro, I'm a skater. Dude. Dude, I am so anti-establishment. I'm the opposite of military. Sorry, Ryan. I'm not, there's nothing militant about me. I am freewheeling all the way. What's all this like doing this stuff and go and the mission and the task? And guys, I just suck it up, and again, like going to the Spur on a Sunday after churches, I just say, yes, cool. Guys, and he is up in my grill. What are you doing at night as a young boy, Anton? What are you watching? What are you doing? So I had to like send him a WhatsApp message every time I, oh, bro, this is so weird. Like, you're so, like, this is orcs, guys. Do you talk about this personal stuff? Like, with people, with you. I don't know you. I've known you for like a year. And you talk, I must give you my stuff I'm struggling with. It's just so weird. Gee. Okay, God, let's do it. And I just progressively did that. You know what the fruit was? Freedom, man. And maybe just while I'm there, you know, maybe for some of us, even like here, we've got some views of church, and maybe you're here in this church with us, and we're not exactly all of us birds. We're quite a diverse bunch here, let's be honest. I'm kind of looking at you. There's some good dressing folks here that actually care about what they look like. Then you've got some people who then you've got Luke, who cares embarrassingly little about what he puts on a day. I think it doesn't even take half a second. It's just like going and then go. There's some kind of young'uns. There's some kind of oldies. I mean, we're pretty different. I'm gray. I'm a bit oldies. We're pretty different. And I really want to like put to us, if I can go from my story, what has helped with me. I want to put to us, and even what God is doing as a father now, God is bigger. Why are we here together? Why? Out of everywhere we could be, why are we here? And let's not presume that we're more in control of our coming and going than we really are. Did we really pick this church? Did our circumstances really end up the way it are because we made some decisions? And I'm sure some of our decisions played. I really do believe God is more in control than we give him credit for. And if that's the case, let's lean into that. Let's just give ourselves. But God, it's not what I would perfectly choose. Cool, God, I trust you. And we're trusting God. And then I just said yes to things. I think the story of my life, what actually changed, I said yes to God right in the beginning, and then I kind of struggled a bit. And then as I got into church, the unlock was I just kept saying yes to God beyond what I wanted. God, this is weird. Okay, yes. 4x4 trip to Zambia to go there? Yes, let's go. Where are we going? I'm in. Being involved in the poor and needy, because I heard that, you know, that's what, that shows God's kind of love. Let's go. Let's get in cars. Let's drive to traffic lights and let's take these young kids off the streets and put them in orphanages. Sounds amazing. Let's go. And then come back and get the Holy Spirit. Oh, you can't do works by yourself. You need the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to speak in tongues. Yes, yeah, no, it's a language and you don't know what you're saying. Okay, Kev. Yeah, this place, you guys are crazy in this place. And you just say yes. And you're just saying yes to God over and over and over again. And all this is what I needed. So remember, I got saved. Sunsurf Club, outside of a church, family, fell away. I come into some weird local family church of people that aren't that cool, in my opinion, but that groom in the Lord. And I needed all of that. I needed all of that. Friends, Paul, Graham and Jenny, to get me mature and to a place where I was no longer that loner, fatherless kid doing everything by himself and for himself. I needed a lot. What's that African saying? Takes a... Yeah, man, something like that. In the kingdom, applies as well. We need a lot. We need more than we think. And I think sometimes in our culture, if we're not careful, there's all this business and all this motivational speak, like 5 steps to doing this and you're great. And if we apply that, I just need to do 5 steps. Give me the knowledge to be a Christian. You're done, guys. You're done. You want 10 steps? You need family to speak into you. You just need to be around. And then the one thing that I just want to finish up on was my battle, the thing that tripped me up, that if I can save you guys time, I pray that I can, because I spent years of this, was my battle with this thing called church. God, I love him. God, let's go, God. But this church stuff and the people, I don't know so much. And there was many times where I actually got distracted, I believe, from doing what God wants me to do. And seeing some things done in the name of Christianity, seeing some kinds of churches that, for me, I disagreed with. There was a stage where, after about 3 or 4 years, I went full-time as a youth pastor in Paul. I'm in, guys. I go from off the beach, struggling to go to the Spur on a Sunday after church, to youth pastoring, bro, in Paul. Off your rocker. There's some guy, I was at some church camp, again, that was interesting, at some church camp, and there's this prophet guy, and he stands me up, and he says, you're going to go. And I was like, stands me up in front of all these people, and he prophesies, you will go. And then the church comes to me and says, yeah, we want you to be a youth pastor in Paul. And I was like, please, I don't speak the Afrikaans. Just first important language barrier. Maybe. I am English. I don't even know if I can braai properly. So I'm wrestling, and I'm talking to everybody and my friends and stuff. And it's God. It's God. I had an interesting time there that I won't get into, but I ended up leaving that church. So I went to be a youth pastor there, a very different kind of church. God put me in a different kind of church. Why would he do that? It was a bit of lights, camera kind of action, pull-up banners, conference. They liked a conference or 12, and God put me there. Guys, God put me there. Okay. And I ended up, long story short, I ended up leaving after about 2 years of trying. And I was very cross. Ooh, I saw an ugly side of the church, eh? Religion. I think there were times where, do you know when you're the youth pastor in the church, and you feel like you're manifesting, but you don't have a demon, it's because you hate what's happening so much. And so I wanted to blow them up. Honestly, God knows. God knows. I'm like, this is not bringing glory to God. This is not God here. This is a show. So I left, and I came back here. And I went into Josh Jen, and I sat at the back next to the fireplace on the left, and I sulked. And Milani moves in the prophetic. She's a lady in Josh Jen who's been around for like a long time, so some of you know. And many would call her kind of a prophetess, and she came up to me as I walked in, and she said, hello. And I said, hi. She says, for the longest time, you've seen further and deeper of the things of God and the leaders that have been over you. You have come here now that there are men that can see further than you can. Sit down and learn. And I said the only response that you could say, yes, ma'am. 100%. That's exactly what I'll be doing. And they left me alone. They didn't try to make me a leader. I was leader burnt, man. I was church, this whole thing. I knew it was man-made. See? I knew it. I knew it. You can't trust this stuff. Get there, burnt. Didn't like leaders. The L words, the swear word. And I sit there. I don't know how long they leave me for. Maybe like a year plus. Could even be more. And I just sit and I listen. I just listen and I learn. And just message after message, meeting after meeting, I'm hearing men who fear the Lord more than trying to grow some church and a brand speak of the things of God. And bit by bit, God takes away my anger. And he even explained some things. He said, Anton, why are you so cross at them? Because they're distorting the truth. Your beautiful truth, God, they are falsifying it. They're distorting it. And he said, Anton, they left jobs and stuff too. They're doing all they've been taught. I'm sure there are some people out there that call themselves the church and that know what they're doing and are purposefully deceiving for kind of cash. Cool. I'm sure there are. But there are kinds of people in leaders in churches that are doing all they know themselves. They're doing what they believe is right. And he just took all my ammo away. And through a period of time, God taught me to trust in the family of God again and church. To the point where right now, I'm one of the leaders here, guys. I'm leading in the church. Go figure that thing out. And do you know what I learned? And I want to leave this with you, and I hope if there's some of you here that you love God a bit like me and you'd want to do those things and you've experienced the things of God. But this church and this people and men and people you struggle with in churches, and that keeps maybe preventing you from throwing yourself in. Remember, I'm saying two things here. God is bigger. Didn't he start here? God is a father, and he is bigger than any one church or any small group of leaders. Let me tell you, he is bigger than that. Okay, so get that. And then number two, I lost my train of thought. Don't get distracted. Yes, that was it. That was perfect, eh? I said don't get distracted and I got distracted. Is that what we got? Okay. Last one. Don't let yourself get distracted by church or things or hurt and kind of stuff from the very plans that God has probably called you to. Remember when we started? Are some people called to have a plan of God and do like amazing things? Me, Luke. You want to say no, but secretly in your heart you think, yeah, maybe I'm average. Do you know we had this prayer meeting quickly? God has got a lot of life for us. He's wanting us to sing and dance, and he's telling us to be excited. He's telling us, take the mountain. I'm big. I'm larger. God is telling us, I'm bigger. I'm bigger. I'm bigger. Have faith. And there were some times in the Bible where an angel or someone would come to a person with a message from the Lord. And he'd say, God has chosen you. And sometimes that person would say, no, not me. And that angel would say, don't you dare. Do you think you created a plan for your life? And you kind of, no. God has created a plan for you, and you, who are you to say that he hasn't got a plan? God has a plan, and you say yes, because it's not your plan. And many of us, I pray, listen to me, say yes. Say yes. God, you're bigger. And if some little niggles come, this church, people, I don't really know them. God, I'm saying yes to you. I'm saying yes to you. Last thing I'm going to say, and then Luke is going to do something beautiful. Is the church perfect? Is this church perfect? I wonder, has the church ever been perfect? Are you sure? Right from back in the day, guys. The church has not been perfect. Am I perfect? Are you perfect? There's only one who is perfect. So we, together, recognize and we say, God, there is no place I'm going to go. There is no church I'm going to be a part of. There's no group of people. There's no leader. There is no place I can go, God, where everything is perfect and I can trust it. Only you I can trust. And I'm going to trust that you play chess with my life and you bring me where I need to be. And I will be in that place. Okay. Love you guys.
So we're going to be about another 5-6 minutes. I just want to touch on one or two key points of Anton's testimony. Anton's story is so relatable in so many ways. Not all of us have these Damascus Road experiences where the Lord himself appears before us. We're carrying on with life. Something happens, we encounter Jesus, and now all of a sudden we're not the same again. And step one of Anton's journey with the Lord was qualified. So think about this. Anton coming off the streets of Sea Point. Did you have long hair back then or just coming off the streets of Sea Point? Life is good. Skateboarding, surfing, doing all of these things. Had zero Christian background. Had zero Christian experience. Had zero Christian qualification or education. He had nothing to fall back on, and yet here he comes and he encounters the person of Jesus, and now his friends, his mom, his teachers, everyone notices this difference in him. So what does he do? He just keeps moving forward. He speaks at assembly, he tells his friends, he tells his mom. Anton had zero qualification, and yet that didn't inhibit him or slow him down from God's plans and purposes. Luke writes this in Acts 4:13. It's such a beautiful scripture. He says this. It's coming up. You've had an hour and a half to get it ready. There we go. Okay. When they saw, now this is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the most educated people of the day. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and Anton, I'm adding in there, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. The NLT says they looked at these men and said, they are ordinary, common men. There's nothing special about them. There's nothing impressive about them. They've got zero education, zero qualification, yet something in their life astonished them. Something about the way they lived, something about the light in their eyes and the fire in their heart made the religious leaders of the day astonished. And it could only be down to one thing. They had been with Jesus. So here's this young surfer, this young skater, doesn't know anything about Christianity, doesn't even want to be called a Christian, yet the world around him sits and notices he's speaking differently, he's acting differently, he's thinking differently, he's feeling differently, and the only conclusion they have is that he had been with Jesus. He had no Christian education, no Christian qualification, no experience, but there was something different about him. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 2, and he says this. Paul writes and says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with what lofty speech and wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So Paul the Apostle comes to the church in Corinth and he says, "When I came to you, I didn't come with fancy words, great theology, impressive sermons, eloquence. I came to you and just simply said, hey, I know nothing except for the person of Jesus and that He died for me." So here we're beginning to see even the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest leaders the world has ever known, he's even saying with all of his wisdom, all of his eloquence, everything he had to offer, he said, "I know nothing but Jesus and Christ crucified. I didn't come with fancy words. I didn't come with wisdom. I came to you with the only thing I knew, and that was the person of Jesus." Paul says, "I didn't come with what I knew. I came with who I knew." And that was the only qualification and the only education he needs was the person of Jesus. Paul writes again in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5 and he says, "Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything coming from us, but our sufficiency is in God." Another translation puts it this way, "It's not that you and I think we're qualified. Our qualification is God." So you might be here this morning and thinking, "I need to know more, I need to experience more, I need to unpack theology, I need to be able to quote 400 scriptures." No, no, the only thing you need to know is a person called Jesus. That's the only education, the only qualification. Paul himself says, "I know nothing but Jesus." And you might be sitting here this morning and going, "How do I tell the world about Jesus? I don't have the credentials." You have the credential, and it is Jesus. The person of Jesus living in you. You don't need a qualification or an education. What you need is a revelation. "All I know is Jesus. Jesus is my education. Jesus is my qualification. And that is all I need to tell the world about Him." Don't wait until you feel ready or prepared. Go into all the world and let your light shine. Go into all the world and simply tell people about the person of Jesus who you met, who you encountered, and who changed your life forever. So the first thing we see in Anton's life, he wasn't qualified by anything of this world, but by the person of Jesus. And that same person of Jesus qualifies you here today. Don't wait around and say, "When I do this or when I do that." No. The only qualification you need is the person of Jesus living in you. Is that good? The second point, the second step in Anton's journey, he now encounters the person of Jesus who qualifies him to tell the world about Jesus. And the second step in Anton's journey was he begins to be discipled. It's not God's desire for you just to be saved. It's God's desire for you to walk in the fullness of what He has for you, the plans and purposes and the promises of God for your life. And the way that God created and designed you and I, we cannot do that outside of community. We cannot do that outside of fellowship. And we cannot do that outside of discipleship. It is the Holy Spirit that as we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He sends His Holy Spirit into you. And from within you, He transforms and changes you into the image of His Son. So from the inside, the Holy Spirit changes us and transforms us. But that's not the only way. He sent brothers and sisters. He sent friends and family. He sent leaders to help mold and shape you from the outside too. And for many of us, this is an area that we neglect. This is an area maybe that we don't value, or maybe you've had some bad experiences in the past. But if you don't have voices and hands and people molding and shaping you, helping you become more and more like Jesus, you're never going to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. And the only way this happens is through the vehicle of discipleship. In Matthew 28, Jesus says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." This is such a significant part of Jesus' story. This is the last instruction that Jesus gives to you and I before He ascends into heaven. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The next verse says this, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So what Jesus is saying here is go and make disciples. Teach them what I taught you. Show them what I showed you. Do to them what I did to you. And that is what discipleship is. When you and I go on a journey together, and perhaps I might be a little bit further down the road because I've given myself to discipleship, and then I disciple you, and so on it goes. This is called the Great Commission, the task that the Lord left for you and I to do, to disciple nations, to go tell the world about Jesus, but not leaving them there, discipling them so they can become more like Jesus. But here's the key. In order for us to disciple, we first need to give ourselves to being discipled. It's very difficult for you and I to try and teach someone and tell someone about something I haven't personally experienced myself. We need to be in a position where we have people in our lives that are instructing us, that are correcting us, people in our lives that are helping mold us and shape us to be more and more like Jesus. If you want to walk in the fullness of what God has for you, find someone to disciple you. Find someone to teach you. Find someone to train you and to instruct you in how to be more and more like Jesus. The reality is that as a leader of a congregation, if I could give you one bit of advice, assuming you're all saved, you have a relationship with Jesus, if I could give you one bit of advice for you to walk in everything that God has for you, be discipled. Get someone to speak into your life. Get someone to help mold you and shape you. Get someone to help train you in the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 27 verse 17 says this, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. And this is the picture that Solomon writes about discipleship, that it's iron sharpening iron. It's not always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to be easy. There's going to be friction. It's going to be heated. It's going to be difficult at times. But as you and I give ourselves to each other, speaking into each other's lives, we come out sharper, more prepared, and more ready for every task that the Lord has for us. And we come out the other side more and more like Jesus. Another translation puts it this way, it takes a grinding wheel to sharpen a blade, and so one person sharpens the character of another. And sometimes it's like that. We hold against the grinding wheel and it feels terrible and it's uncomfortable and it's unpleasant. But the reward of being more and more like Jesus on the other side is worth every temporary unpleasant part. Does that make sense? If you are here today and no one's speaking into your life and you're not being discipled, chat to your comm leaders. Come chat to me afterwards. I want to see you walk in everything God has for you. And the key that Jesus gives us in order to unlock that potential and fullness is discipleship. Is that cool? Step three, the final step of Anton's conversion to where he is now. Anton is an incredibly confident man, very secure and comfortable in his own skin. He doesn't allow the outside world to often affect him and sway him. He's very grounded in who he is and his relationship with the Lord. And from a young age, he had all these plans of how life was going to work out. How skateboarding and then surfing and all of these things. And the reality is that God had other plans. Anton was ready to live his life and take on the world, but God had other plans. And Proverbs 16 verse 9 says this, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And this is pretty much you and I. We plan our way we're going to go, and we think this is how it's going to work out. But how many people here have lived long enough to know it very seldomly works out the way you think it is going to work out? And every single time when you get to the other side, you're grateful it didn't work out the way you wanted it to work out. There's some prayers God hasn't answered that I'm grateful he didn't answer. I don't know where I would be. Another translation puts it this way, within your heart you can make plans for your future, but the Lord chooses the steps you take to get there. We can make our plans, But ultimately, it's God who directs our path. God knew that Anton would one day be part of a leadership team in a church like this and prepared him from long before that. God knew that he would meet Anton that day in the surfing club and his life would forever be changed. And God knew that you would be here in this room today. David writes in the Psalms and says, before you've lived even one day, God's known all of them. And we never catch God by surprise. So if you are here this morning, God knew you would be here. God is speaking to you here. He wanted you in this room because you needed to hear this. And many of you are wrestling with God and even resisting Him because of your plans, your preferences, and how you think it should work out. And some of us this morning need to wave the white flag and say, God, I'm done trying to lead you. Will you lead me instead? Wave the white flag. A huge part of Anton's wrestle was with religion and all the stuff the church was about. You and I are imperfect people. We're broken people. Hurt people hurt people. But just as much that it was God's plan for you to be here this morning, the church is God's plan too. The body of Christ, the bride of Christ. It doesn't say that God's coming back, or Jesus is coming back for many brides. It says, the bride. It doesn't say that Jesus has many bodies, the body. And the reality is that you and I, unless we are connected to the body of Jesus, unless we are in the bride of Christ, we will never walk in everything that God has for us. So I want to tell you this morning, just in closing, number one, you are qualified right now more than you will ever be to preach the gospel and tell the world about Jesus. In fact, sometimes when you grow in age and you think you're growing in wisdom, you become more cautious and reserved and fearful of man. So right now, as you're sitting here, with whatever brokenness or hurt you have, you are as qualified as you will ever be to tell the world about Jesus, simply because of a revelation, not an education or a qualification. Number two, every single one of us needs to be discipled. Needs to have people speaking into our lives. And Jesus doesn't paint the picture of a warm couch with a counselor or a therapist. He doesn't paint the picture where we're sitting having a cup of tea and agreeing on all things of life. No, he says, as iron sharpens iron, so we sharpen one another. As a blade is held to the grinding wheel, so we sharpen each other's character and make each other more and more like Jesus. It's not candy floss and cotton wool. It's iron on iron. And sometimes for some of us, the moment the pressure is on, the moment I hear something I don't like, I want to pull away. This is bad for my mental health. I don't like what you're saying. You're too abrasive, too strong. I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying, as iron sharpens iron. And if you don't have any iron in your life, rubbing you up the wrong way, pushing back against you, friction, heat. If you don't have that in your life, you don't have discipleship. If you have someone in your life that just tells you what you want to hear, you have friendship. You don't have discipleship. And even that friendship isn't true friendship. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. And some of us need to hear the truth so that we can become more and more like Jesus. And then the final thing that Anton had to realize was, it was always God's plan and not his own. And some of us are here this morning and we've resisted the Lord and resisted His plans. You might come to church, you might do all the right things, but in your heart there's still a part of you, my way. This is how it's going to work out. And I'm telling you that as we lay that down, we step into something far greater than we could ever create or imagine, called the will of God. And as we step into the will of God, there's peace. As we step into the will of God, there's joy. As we step into the will of God, there's freedom. It's not easy, it's not without suffering, but it is worth it, meaningful and significant as you and I build the kingdom of God together. Can we stand for a moment? I'm just going to close shortly. I want to just pray for some people just for a moment. Can we bow our heads and just close our eyes? I really feel there are one or two groups of people that I want to pray with this morning. You know, we're speaking about this radical encounter with the Lord. Anton was living a good life and maybe didn't feel like he needed Jesus. But when he met the person of Jesus, he realized that nothing is good without Jesus. And if you are here this morning and maybe you haven't had that moment where you gave your life to Jesus, maybe you haven't had that encounter. You've come to church, you've done all the right things, but as you stand here, you just know in your heart, Jesus, that same encounter that Anton had with you that changed everything, I need that. I want to give you my life. I've given you portions of me. Well, maybe at a time I did give you everything and I walked away. But if you are here this morning and you're just feeling I need to just surrender my life to Jesus, I'd love to pray with you. Like Anton 30 years ago was prayed for. I want to give you your moment this morning where everything changes.